Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Disney Dining Show. I'm your host, Pete Werner, joined at the table this week by my good friends, Dreams agent Sean Falk.
Hi.
Diz senior editor Charles Boda.
Hello.
The lovely and talented Mr. Stephen Elizabeth Porter.
Hello.
And back on the controls, our own Rhino Clavin.
Oh, hello.
It's Clavin.
He hates when people mispronounce his last name. So. Every so often I do it just for fun. All right, this week it is Sean's turn to do a pick six. For those not familiar, we ask each member of the team to pick their favorite place to eat at each of the four Disney theme parks, one at one of the Disney resorts and one at Disney Springs. So Charles, Steve, and I have done ours. So now that he is back from training,
yep,
and back in the mix, he is ready to do his. So Sean, what are your favorites in each of those places?
Okay, so first off, I wanted to, it's not always like what my favorite food is necessarily. Sometimes I just like randomly where I go is always going to be a little bit different than everybody else because I have a unique food
that's one way sense to, or whatever, that one I, way to describe it.
Yeah, that I prefer. But at Magic Kingdom, I would say the Crystal Palace is going to be my preference. I don't care that much about the quick service there at all, and I actually don't really care that much about the sit-down services either at Magic Kingdom. Crystal Palace, obviously for me, because I like Winnie the Pooh a lot, so you can eat with the characters. But the buffet was actually really good.
It was very good.
Pete and I went. It was really great. The food quality was really awesome. The price wasn't bad for what it is. If you're on the dining plan, it's only like one credit and you still get to like meet characters and do a buffet and everything rather than having to like spend multiple credits to do Be Our Guest or Cinderella's Castle, and which aren't like that great of food. I actually think the Crystal Palace has better food than they do there. So
what do they serve?
Oh, it's gonna be we had like pork.
Well, right, we did a dinner.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was
like lots of vegetables. So they had carrots and green beans, and they had mashed potatoes. They had, so it was like a hearty American, not Thanksgiving, but I guess that would be the
a lot of comfort food.
Comfort food. Yeah,
a lot of comfort food. And
that kind of stuff.
And the food was because I, you know, when we went. This was last summer.
Yeah, it was like August, I think.
And I had said to him that this is going to be hit or miss. Mm-hmm. I don't know how good this is going to be. So, plus we were there kind of late in the dinner service, mm-hmm. and you know, a lot of times with buffets, like if you get there like just when they start doing the buffet, the food's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But as the night wears on, the food starts getting worse and worse. And everything was fresh. Everything was really delicious, and he was like coming out of his skin because he'd never done a character meal before.
Yeah,
yeah. And he loves Winnie the Pooh, so he was like vibrating with excitement when the characters yeah. started coming around. It was really funny to see because he doesn't do that often.
Yeah, I don't do character dining much.
I've always thought it was.
Well, you don't vibrate with excitement much
true.
Either.
Yeah, so. No, I don't. Yeah, that's true.
I've always thought it was strange the placement of the Winnie the Pooh characters there. Nothing against the Winnie the Pooh characters. I just always thought. Them being in that location, like I feel like they should have some sort of a character breakfast at like Wilderness Lodge or something that more fits their theming.
Yeah.
But I mean, nothing against the Crystal Palace.
Right.
I always thought that was like a weird the match of those two.
Yeah, and I really could see it as more if they did like Mary Poppins or kind of got that like look, or even vaguely like Alice in Wonderland, but not
or like even just basic the Fab Five being right in the center of the Magic Kingdom. That would make sense.
Main Street USA, because it's like right there, so that would make sense.
All right, let's go over to Epcot.
Okay, Epcot for me. I am going to pick both Nine Dragons and the Chinese quick service, and that's just because I really like Chinese food. So,
well, you are the reason that I kind of turned around on Nine Dragons, mm-hmm. because it had been so roundly criticized for so long by me and by a lot of other people about how bad the food was and how overpriced it was for being Chinese food.
Mm-hmm.
And I still think there's an argument to be made mm-hmm. there that it's overpriced for Chinese food. But I've been there now 3 or 4 times in the last year. And I got to say, I've enjoyed the meal every time.
Especially their appetizers.
Their appetizers are phenomenal. Yeah.
And that's my thing is I love the appetizers there. The entrees have always been underwhelming for me. Not like bad or anything like that. So it's definitely not, in my eyes, it's not a terrible place. But appetizers set you up for a great meal. And I don't think I think we said this during the last one, but always recommend just get a bunch of appetizers. I personally think that's the way to go.
It's really good. And I mean, there's other places like Le Cellier that I like better, like has more better food quality and stuff, but I consistently go to those two, whether I have time to sit down or not, just because it is less expensive. It is expensive for Chinese food, but it's less expensive than the other sit-down restaurants by comparison. So I really like that about it, and that's just my style of food.
I find the service generally to be abrupt. It's not, and I think it's just cultural, that, you know, Chinese people, just in my experience, my limited experience, just tend to be more abrupt and things like that. It's not out of being rude or anything like that. I think it's just their manner of speaking. But to me, it comes across as kind of abrupt. So that's a little different. But
I think it's a coin flip there, though. The last time that we were all there, service was a little abrupt. The time before that, we were in love with our server.
Yeah, she was great.
Absolutely. Yeah. Great, yeah.
You know? Yeah. No, that was really good. I think it's a really good restaurant. So
you like that quick service there too.
I do like the quick service there. I always get orange chicken, so that's I get orange chicken inside too, so it doesn't matter about
the outside. Is the orange chicken better inside or outside?
It's different because like the outside is like a very saucy, like you can tell it's like some kind of cheaper thing, but like inside it's more like it has like some kind of actual orange
it's made
peel
fresh
in it.
Yeah.
It's more fresh and everything, but I like either, so I just like orange chicken, so that's it works for me. Going over to Hollywood Studios, I'm definitely gonna say the Brown Derby. I think that it has, especially the dinner, because you can get the pork loin there for dinner, and I really like pork loin quite a bit. And they also have like a duck two ways at night as well that I don't think they have at lunch. And it's just nice because you can have a really nice meal. You can pair it with doing Fantasmic because they have the dining packages and the dinner packages and stuff. And it's really got that authentic feel of, because I've never been to the real Brown Derby. So, but it is nice to like get to try that. And I think it works perfectly in Hollywood Studios, and at this point is kind of the only thing that's like authentically Hollywood that's left of Hollywood Studios. Like I don't think there's anything else really, especially after the new additions get made to even be called Hollywood Studios. There's nothing studio or Hollywood about it, except like the Citizens of Hollywood as well.
Well, I mean, if you're talking about, and this is going to get off track, but if you're talking about the theme park supposed to be about the movies. Mm-hmm. So you kind of do have, you know, you have that old Hollywood, you know, movie feel, but then, you know, Star Wars, certainly about movies.
Yeah.
I mean, and Toy Story Land, you know, it's about movies. So I think, you know, they're staying in theme to a degree. They're just expanding out what's acceptable now that they had
to make it a studio,
in order to make it an actual theme park.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree with that. But Hollywood Brown Derby, if you haven't been, it's really worth trying. It's really worth going.
Absolutely one of the top restaurants on Disney property. And consistently very, very, very good.
Yeah. I mean, if it's like not something you want to do besides that, I would like exit out the back and like head over to like the Swan and Dolphin and try it, like take a water taxi or something over there and eat at Il Molino instead, because there's nothing else that I'm that like pumped about as far as food at Hollywood Studios. It's not my favorite place to eat, and like Mama Melrose is good, but because I know Swan and Dolphin's right there pretty close by, I could go there and get more like Italian food I'd prefer. So for Animal Kingdom, I like the newer edition of the Saltuli cafe.
Canteen.
Yeah. And the South Tule Canteen, because you can get, and which for people don't know, it's in the new Pandora area. And I really like getting the rice with chicken there because it's a lighter kind of quick service. Usually everything's so heavy at the parks and you just feel awful afterwards. And it does have like a lot of salt and stuff in it. But besides that, it's nice to get something that feels a little lighter, I guess. And we've eaten there several times. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. I think it's arguably best counter service on property. I've said it before.
Yeah, it was my pick. I totally agree with this. I think the theming in there is great. I think the burger pods are great. There's a lot to like about this location. There's lots of seating in there as well. I've never had a problem finding a table, which can sometimes be a problem at quick service locations. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I totally agree with this pick.
Yeah. So outside of that, going to Disney Springs, I'm going to echo from Charles' show. The Boathouse for me is the best. There's sometimes I just sit and think about that meal and I just like reminisce about it. And I just remember because I was thinking about it a couple of days ago because I was helping book someone there and I was like pulling up the menu and I was like, God, I need to go back. So because it was so good. Everything I had was great, but I love seafood. So everything I had was great. Everything I tried of everyone else's was great, except with the exception of your steak. And it's just a really great place. And I don't like eating outside, but it was nice to do that because it fit with the aesthetic of like you're eating on the pier of the marina here. So, and I love that about that.
And they do have a nice interior area.
Yeah.
Like I prefer to eat outside, but like every time I've walked through there, taking a look around, they do have a nice, well-decorated, comfortable inside area. Like, you know, if you prefer to eat inside. So.
Yeah.
Last time I was there, I've actually noticed something that they print their menus like all the time. Like there's a date at the top of the menu when the it was printed. So I'm guessing because when certain fish are in season, they, you know, are constantly updating and changing.
So, a lot of places that are doing either seasonal menus or if they're, you know, really trying to make sure that, like, for seafood, that it's fresh. You're going to see them do that.
Which is not, I mean, it's not only nice because, you know, you're getting fresh seafood, but also because if you've been there before and there was maybe not something on the menu that you're super pumped about, give it a try to go back because in 6 months it might be a totally different, well, not totally different. There's probably some, you know, similar items, but there's also probably some new items. So it's worth giving a shot, even if you didn't have the best experience, you know, last year or 6 months ago.
Yeah. And for whatever reason, it also has a gift shop, and I don't think it needs a gift shop because I don't know that anyone's that – I'm not that on board with the Boathouse that I need to, like, have Boathouse gear or anything to wear around and advertise it. But I guess if they're selling, it works for them.
Though I think one of the reasons that it has that in Disney Springs is because Boathouse's gift shop has a lot of kind of stereotypical, like – Florida, very like Floridian purchases, like different like little seashore kind of knickknacks and stuff along with it. That like, hey, you can't make it to the beach or on property and parks, but you want something that screams Florida. You know, get this thing or that thing. So that might be why they have it because it was weird. Sense. Like it's not like it has this legendary renown. So why does it have a gift shop?
Right.
But I think it's just to tie that like little Florida seaside thing in there.
Yeah, and for my resort restaurant, I didn't get to see you guys' shows, but I'm going to pick California Grill. You probably picked that. I don't know.
I probably did, yeah.
So,
yeah, you did.
Yeah,
I think it's a pretty safe bet. That
yeah, for California Grill, I mean, even if it didn't have the view that it has, I think the prices are really good for location, for the food quality you get. There's so much variety. The pork is amazing. The sushi's really good there. It's and like so it's hard to find restaurants that do all those things really well, and they just seem to always have it really well together. The service is always great. The drinks are always great. I mean, there's just nothing to complain about. It's definitely my favorite restaurant on Disney property and the only place that I can really think of that even if it wasn't at Disney, if it was somewhere like up in Orlando and Winter Park or whatever, I would drive up there to eat there. If it was on my drive home to Tennessee to visit my family, I would make it a point to stop in the middle of Alabama or wherever and eat at California Grill if that's where it was located. So
Yeah, you're right. And that's something that Kevin Close always says. This, you know, one of the standards he uses in terms of judging a restaurant is, would it stand on its own outside of a theme park? And it's an interesting perspective, but you're absolutely right. California Grill, no matter where it was, if this is what they were doing, would stand on its own.
Oh, yeah.
I think even without the view, too. Like, just, I think a lot of people go up there for the view, and then they learn about how great of a restaurant and how great the food are, or is. So, yeah, I think it's, views aside, the food is exceptional.
Oh, yeah. God, it's so good. I love that place.
The experience is also, it's not just the fireworks or anything like that, but the layout and the way that it's set up. I do enjoy the fact that it doesn't feel... It stops feeling Disney resorty, and it does feel like a regular restaurant. Like me, no children, just swing by for a nice meal. I do feel comfortable there. I feel like I'm going to a regular high-end restaurant rather than going to a resort experience because it takes you out and it's focused very much on the meal. Even though the fireworks experience is a very unique Disney thing, without the fireworks experience, it stands just on the basis of going to enjoy a restaurant.
Yep.
All right. So there you have it. Those are Sean's picks for his favorites at Walt Disney World, Crystal Palace in the Magic Kingdom, Nine Dragons at Epcot, the Hollywood Brown Derby at Hollywood Studios, South Tule Canteen at Animal Kingdom, California Grill at Disney's Contemporary Resort, and the Boathouse at Disney Springs. So that will do it for our show for this week. We hope you enjoyed it, and we'll see you again next week with another episode of the Disney Dining Show. Have a great week, everybody.